Acts, if you would, we're going to go to the book of Acts tonight. Acts is it's my favorite book in the Bible, and if I had to take and pick out a particular book in the Bible that would be my favorite, this would be my favorite. I enjoy the book of Acts, and there's so much here that we can learn from, and tonight we're going to jump right into our lesson tonight. Acts chapter number 20 is where I would like to begin tonight. We are going to jump around a little bit. We're going to use our Bibles tonight and look at several different verses that I think can be a help to us tonight. I want to talk to you tonight from God's Word about our role in the local New Testament church. As everybody understands tonight that a person trusts Christ as their Savior, that's all a person has to do in order to go to heaven. You don't have to join the church or be a part of a church to go to heaven, but I believe that it's important to be a part, a member, and be active and be involved in a local New Testament church. I'm not saying tonight that it takes you to heaven, because the church can't take you to heaven tonight. You can get baptized every Sunday and it doesn't make you a child of God. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven tonight. But after salvation, I think there's some important steps that a person needs to make. Number one, after salvation, I think a person ought to get baptized. As soon as that person can possibly be baptized, they ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I believe also a person that trusts Christ as their Savior and after they are baptized ought to become a member of a good Bible-believing preaching church. And this is one of those tonight. And so we're going to talk about that, but I also believe tonight that as a member of a church, we need to understand there are some responsibilities that we have. Often this is neglected, and often it is not often taught and preached, but I believe that as a member of this church, I have a responsibility tonight. And I believe that comes from God's Word. So we're going to look at our role, our responsibilities as a church member. What does God expect out of us? And we're going to look at a few things here tonight. There's much more that could be said than what we're going to give tonight. But for sake of time, we'll hurry and get right into it. Acts chapter number 20 tonight. And if you would, I'm going to just read, we'll read just one verse for sake of time here real quickly. Just to get us started here. In fact, I'm going to begin tonight talking about the pastor's role. The pastor has a very distinct role in the local New Testament church. We're going to start with him, and then we'll go, and I did say him, by the way, that's another story. Then we're going to get into our role, and that's where we're going to focus tonight. But we'll begin with the pastor, Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 28. The Bible says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God." So the entire verse is talking about the church of God, the overseer of the church of God here. And then it goes on to say, "which he hath purchased with his own blood." So we also find out that the owner of the church tonight is Jesus Christ himself. And we find here that he actually made a payment for the church, and the payment that was made for the local New Testament church was the blood of Jesus Christ. But we also find here that we have the church of God mentioned here. We find that it was Jesus Christ that actually purchased the church with his blood. No one person owns the church tonight. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our church tonight. But we also find here that there is an overseer that is given here that will oversee the flock of God. And just a little brief, you'll find testament here as well, which we find here that he is the overseer of the church. He is also the one that will actually feed the church. And talking about spiritual food, that will be the one. He'll preach and teach, instruct, guide, lead, direct. And this is where we find our pastor tonight. Now, churches are, I believe, tonight to be independent of any outside control of any kind of policies or doctrine. We are self-governing, I should say, tonight here as well. The pastor and the congregation all have a role to play in the work of God. And it's very important that we understand our role, and we need to also understand the role of the pastor in the church. Now, I'm not the pastor. Our pastor is absent tonight. And in fact, he is, has he already made it to Florida yet? He hasn't made it there yet. But Brother Richardson is our pastor. He's been here for many, many years. And to be honest with you, I have a high respect for him. He is a gem, if you would. He is a one of a kind. And never take that for granted. We'll love our pastor. We'll support our pastor. We ought to take heed to our pastor. We ought to realize that he has a very important role that God has established in the local New Testament church. And so we find here that the pastor is we could break it down. He's the boss, if you would. He's in charge. He's in the leadership role. He's in the driver's seat, if you would. He's the overseer of the church and so forth. And the pastor, of course, is to follow God's leadership in leading the church. And he's got a tough job. He has a lot of decisions he's got to make. And sometimes the pastor may make some decisions that maybe not everybody quite maybe would agree with, but that's okay. Somebody's got to be the boss. And the boss tonight, the leader tonight, the overseer tonight, the pastor tonight is Brother Richardson tonight. And we ought to have a high respect for him, a high regard for him. And we ought to love him, and we ought to have a respect for him tonight. And, you know, it's easy sometimes, especially as long as he's been the pastor of the church here, to kind of take advantage of that. And we should never take advantage of the position that he has in the church, and not only in the church, but in our life. And so we're going to look at that. So the pastor's role tonight, and God has placed the pastor to guide the congregation, to lead the congregation, to instruct the congregation, to feed the congregation, if you would, as we find here in this verse as well. And he's to be the overseer of the church. All right. Now, let's make sure we understand tonight, the pastor is the overseer of the church. There's sometimes trouble happens in churches sometimes when a member decides that they want to be the overseer. You're not the overseer tonight. I'm not the overseer tonight. The pastor's the overseer of the church tonight. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, you have to take that up with God. That's God's plan, and that's the way God designed the local New Testament church. And I believe tonight God knows what He's doing tonight. God knows what is best. And God, you know, God has a plan for everything tonight. You take the home, you take marriage, you take any category of life tonight, God already has established a plan. And God has a plan tonight for the church tonight as well. There are three, three I know of tonight. Names that are given in the Bible tonight that would refer to the pastor. For instance, tonight you'll find the word elder sometimes used in the Bible. That is a word that actually emphasizes wisdom and experience. And you'll find in 1 Timothy chapter number 3 the qualifications of a pastor. And a pastor does have qualifications that individual he must meet in order to be able to be a pastor of a church. But elder is sometimes used to refer to the pastor, which is a word that it's a word that kind of finite, if you would actually mean wisdom and experience. Now, I think tonight we would all agree that our pastor has many years of experience, and he's a very wise individual as well. The word pastor, this is a word that we commonly use today. Some churches still use the word elder, and sometimes some of those churches are kind of misusing that position. But the word pastor is also found, and it is a word that actually emphasizes being a shepherd or one that gives protection to and over the church. And that's one of the jobs of the pastor. He's to protect the church. He is to instruct the church. He is to warn the church of anything that may be harmful to the church or to Christians individually. And the pastor has every right to warn us of the dangers that lurk out in the world that we live in. Through a message, he may preach a message sometimes, and sometimes, you know, it may rub us a little wrong because maybe we find ourselves at fault, or maybe in some type of sin that's revealed through a message. Well, you know, that's God using the pastor to warn us about the dangers that are lurking around us. And God uses the pastor to give us that instruction. The word bishop is also used in the Bible, which means overseer. He is the overseer of the church. I think the pastor has every right to oversee everything in the church. I believe that if we ever do anything in the church, and if we have something that takes place, or we have some kind of a question, or we think, well, you know, I really don't know what needs to be done, then we need to run that by the pastor. Because he's the overseer. He's the boss, if you would, tonight. And we need to make sure that we run everything through the pastor, by the pastor. And I think the pastor needs to know what's going on in every part of the church, school, ministries, you name it. Pastor needs to know about it. Why? Because he is the overseer of the church. God has put him in that place. And, you know, having a pastor is a wonderful thing tonight. And a lot could be said there, but we're going to go past that tonight and move on. And we have not only is the pastor a part of the church here, but then also we have what we call church members. All right. And some of you here tonight, I don't know all who would be a member tonight or not. Some of you may be here tonight. You may not be an actual member of the church, but I want to take the word of God tonight and remind us a little bit that as a member of the church here, what kind of a role do we play in the work of God? And let me say also, first of all, I believe that it's a privilege and to be a member of the church tonight. We ought not take it for granted tonight. You know how it is. Sometimes, Brother Jay, you've been here since the very beginning. Is that correct? Uh-huh. And still faithful to this day. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for the person that's only been coming maybe 2 weeks. Praise the Lord for the person that's been coming for a few years now. But as a member, it's a privilege to be a member of the church. But also we have to realize that there's also, in God's plan, a responsibility that's also given to the church member. All right. Sometimes people don't like to be told that, because most people feel like being a member of a church is you just join the church and you sit in your place in the pew and that's the end of it. Well, I've got news for you tonight. That's not the end of it. You're going to find that God has a plan for your life as a member of this very church we are in tonight. We find there's responsibilities that come along with being a member of the church. So let's look at some of those. Hebrews chapter 10 tonight, if you'll go there. And actually, I read this and we made reference to it a few weeks ago in our Sunday school lessons when we were in the book of Hebrews. But Hebrews chapter 10 is where I would like to begin tonight. And this is one that will at times rub people a little wrong sometimes. I just believe this tonight, and, you know, accuse me if you want to, but I just believe tonight God expects me to be here tonight. Did you hear me tonight? I believe God expects me to show up at church. We neglect so many things in life, but, you know, let's be honest. You take our nation tonight, you take churches tonight, membership in churches is hurting tonight. And the reason that membership and people being faithful to church is the reason churches are hurting so much tonight is because it's hard to get people to be faithful to church anymore. Because everybody has everything going on in life. And I understand life is busy. There are going to be times, I understand, there things happen sometimes where we have to miss. I understand that tonight, but there's a lot of people that miss just because they choose to miss tonight. I don't know that churches, how old is the church tonight? Do y'all know 30? About 40 years old, and I have no idea over the past 40 years how many people has actually maybe joined the church. But, you know, let's just go back. If you had everybody that ever started coming here and joined here, and let's say they stick with it and they stay, you know, we'd probably have to add on to the church tonight. But people go by the wayside. People stop coming and so forth. But let's look here. Hebrews chapter 10. I've got to hurry tonight. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. The Bible says, you probably know this by heart. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the less. Is that what it says? So much the more, the Bible says here in verse number 25, as ye see the day approaching. So if I understand my Bible correctly tonight, that I ought to be faithful to his house. We ought to be glad we have a church tonight. We ought to be glad we live in a country where we have freedom to go to church tonight. Nobody's preventing us from going and being a part of the church tonight. And praise God for what we have tonight. And we need to realize that, boy, we ought to be faithful and not less faithful, but as time goes by, I ought to be more faithful to the house of God. And so we find here that that we ought to be faithful. We ought not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so I think tonight that one of the primary responsibilities that I have as a church member is that I need to be faithful. Now, let me say this tonight real quickly. I don't know of anything any more helpful in encouraging a pastor if people would just be faithful. From my experience in pastoring for a pretty good long period of time, one of the most discouraging things in the ministry is just trying to get people to show up for church. I mean, and everybody's got their excuses of why they can't come. I mean, I should have, Brother Richardson, he should write a book on all the excuses of why people can't come to church. It will be, actually, you would read some of it and you think, you know, that's comical. I mean, that's pretty funny. I mean, I can't believe somebody gave that as an excuse. And everybody has their excuse of why they can't come. But I just believe this, as a child of God and as a church member tonight, I need to do everything I can to make sure that my schedule works where I'm at church when church is taking place. Be faithful to the house of God. Church members should be at church when the doors open. We ought to walk in. If you would go to John, you're close there. Let's go back a little bit to the book of John and show you something that you're very familiar with. But I want to show you about one individual that decided that I'm just not going to show up for church tonight. And you're going to find tonight that something drastic happens tonight. We're going to look at Thomas tonight. Thomas is going to decide. And Thomas doesn't show up for a service where Jesus was at and Jesus was preaching there. But Thomas, he decided that he wasn't going to show up that night. In chapter number 20, if you would, down in verse number 24, towards the end of the chapter, you'll find it says in verse 24, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." So what does that mean tonight? It means it was time to assemble together, but Thomas decided not to go. He was one of the 12. He was the inner circle, if you would, but he decided that, you know, for whatever reason he had, and I'm sure he had a reason, he probably had an excuse that he felt like was a good excuse, and Thomas does not show up, let's say tonight, for church, and he misses an entire service where Jesus was the actual one preaching and teaching at that time. Let's move on here, verse number 25. "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord." All right, so this is after. You'll find that he meets up with the disciples. So evidently they may have went by. Maybe they saw him. They said, "Thomas, you missed it tonight. And you missed the service," verse 25. And they say in this verse, "We have seen the Lord." "But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of his of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, it's pretty interesting here that we find here that Thomas now doubts that actually the Lord showed up. In fact, we find here he misses just one service here. And let's say, we're going to call it maybe a Sunday night service, if you would. And he decided not to go for whatever reason. He didn't go. He meets up with some of the other disciples after the service. And if you would, of course, this is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know that tonight. But for sake of illustration here, they meet up with Thomas and they say, "Man, you missed it. Guess what? The Lord was there tonight." He says, "You know what? I don't believe you. And I'm not going to believe you until I physically can actually see him and touch him. I do not believe what you're telling me." And from that day forward, we call him Doubting Thomas. Thomas ended up getting a nickname for the rest of his life, and everybody called him Doubting Thomas. Until this day, often people refer to him, even in a Sunday school lesson or in a message, and often we make the reference to him that is Thomas, Doubting Thomas. Why? Because Thomas doubted that the Lord showed up at the service. Guess what? He would have known that he showed up for the service if he would have been there in the first place. You see, tonight, here's what I believe. You never know what you may miss when you miss just one service. Just one. You say, but I've been to 100. I mean, I've been to thousands of services. It's no telling how many hours I put into being in church and being in my place. And I'm a little tired tonight, and I don't know. I just think I'll stay at home tonight. Probably one of the most dangerous things you could ever do is not show up for church. You never know what the Lord may have in store for you that night. And if you don't show up to receive what God... I just believe that God always has something for me when I come to church. I believe that when Brother Richardson gets in the pulpit, I honestly believe that God is going to use him, and I honestly believe that God has something for me. But if I don't show up, then I don't receive what God has for me. And when I start neglecting... You know, and they always say that, you know... They say once you miss once, it's easier to miss a second time. And then they say, you know, once you start missing Wednesday nights, it's easier to start missing Sunday nights. And then, boy, if you get in the habit of missing Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, you're going to find it easy to miss Sunday mornings. You know, I believe we ought to back up and just realize, hey, we don't need to miss any time. I mean, the house of God's opened up. I mean, the reason for my even existence tonight on this earth, you know, I think I need to go to God's house. Tonight's Wednesday night. We have church service on Wednesday night. I think I ought to be there. I think God expects me to be there. I think God may have something for me when I get there. Faithfulness. Your role as a church member, number one, is to be faithful to the house of God. And I'm afraid that so often that we may struggle spiritually in our life because, you know what, we may have missed the most important message God had for us in a long time. But because we didn't go, for whatever reason we had for not going, you know, I don't want to miss any service because I'm afraid of what I may miss what God has for me that time. You know, God can't do, you know, I've often said this, you know, there are some people that God can't use. Number one, God can't use lazy people. God can't use people that's not faithful. You know, if I'm going to be used of God, if I'm going to find out what God intends for me, I've got to be there. I've got to be at the services. So faithfulness is very important. Let's move on real quickly. 1 Corinthians, if you would. We'll turn over a little bit. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 12. I'm not going to read the entire chapter because this next point pretty well entails the entire chapter. I believe that as a church member tonight, I have some roles that I need to fulfill in my life. God expects me to be faithful to church. That's a given tonight. God expects you to be faithful to church. Whether you want to admit it or not, Brother Richardson expects you to be faithful to church. Let me say this. You know what's discouraging sometimes for pastors is to study all week and put a message together and, boy, even get excited about it and say, man, I can't wait till Sunday to deliver the message. And, boy, just feel good because you know it's something God wants you to say and so forth. And then you get to church and so-and-so's not there and so-and-so's not there. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, you work hard all week trying to put together. And, by the way, let me say this. Preparing a message, three messages a week, week after week after week, is not an easy thing. Studying is not easy. How in the world Brother Richardson ever finds time to study, I do not know. With a school the size that the church has and the ministries that is going on and all that's taking place, it's got to be a struggle for him just to find time to study. But listen, I think if he's going to study, if he's going to put a message together, if he's going to give the time to it and the devotion to it, and if he's willing to make sure he's faithful to the house of God to deliver the message, I think I have a responsibility to be there to hear the message. What good is it to study and preach a message if nobody's there to hear it? If everybody stayed home tonight, you know, to be honest with you, it'd be foolish for me to even give a message tonight if nobody's here. Faithfulness is very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm just going to make reference here real quickly. You'll find in this chapter that God has given you a spiritual gift. You'll find in this chapter here, spiritual gifts are listed here and given here. And you'll find that, look at verse number one. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, what's that next word? Does it say lost people? It says what? What's that next word? Brethren, right? Brethren is saved people tonight. We are brethren tonight. Whether you like it or not, we're all kin tonight, dear friend. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. You say, well, I always wanted a brother. Well, you got one. I'm your brother. If you're saved tonight, we're brothers tonight. or I'm your brother if you're my sister, but let me say tonight, well, let's move on. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you, what's that next word? Ignorant, all right? He says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the matter here. And he says, verse number two, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give to you to understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Verse number four. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. You're going to find out through here all the gifts are going to be listed. They're all going to be different. Not everybody has the same gifts. Everybody may have different gifts, but everybody that's a child of God, you have a spiritual gift tonight. And God gave it to you. And God gave it to you so you could use it in His work. So as a member of the church tonight, I'm to be faithful by far. That's a given. I'm supposed to show up. You get a job somewhere, you know what they're going to expect? They're going to expect you to show up for work. If you don't show up for work, you're not going to stay employed very long. Because they have to, you've got to be faithful. Guess what? Lord's work, same way. Will to show up for church services. Will to be in our place. Be in our, be here at the right time and be on time and be in our place and be involved. And then we have spiritual gifts and we're to use those gifts, for the work of God. And, when everybody uses the gifts that God gives them, it makes the ministry run smoother and it helps out and it makes things work correctly. And when we don't do our part, then somebody else has got to pick up the slack. And somebody else may have to do a little extra when somebody else decides not to do their part. Everybody ought to do their part tonight. Find out what God's given you and what you can do for the Lord and how you can be involved and do what you can do tonight. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You just find out what you can do and give what the Lord gives to you as your gift tonight. Let's move real quickly. 1 Timothy, if you would. 1 Timothy, and we'll move on. We'll find that prayer is another vital part of the ministry of the church tonight. You find in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, the very first two verses talks about prayer and the importance of praying for our leaders. We're to pray for one another. Look at verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings, now you can stop and just say, well, we don't have kings, we have a president. Some countries still call their leaders kings, but we call ours a president. I think tonight I have an obligation. I need to pray for our president. And I do. I do pray for him. And pray for the Lord to help him and guide him and lead him. Help him make the right decisions. Sometimes I don't know that my prayers being answered sometimes. But what he does, I can't dictate that, but I can pray for him. And it doesn't matter what party, political party you're from, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your candidate won or whether your candidate lost, it doesn't matter. I'm to pray for our leaders tonight. It goes on, and it tells you a little bit of why. And we're to pray for one another. Prayer is a very important role in the church, and everybody ought to be a part of prayer as a member of our church. You know what? We're to pray for our pastor every single day. You know, It's not anything wrong with praying for Brother Richardson and asking God to lead him to God and give him wisdom and ask the Lord, you know, Lord, help him as he studies this week to put the message together that I need to show me what my need is in my life, and God use him and protect him and bless him and help him and pray for your pastor tonight. Pray for leaders that we have, and we ought to pray for one another, and we ought to exhort one another, and that's another whole point in itself. As a member, one of the responsibilities that I have is exhorting one another, the Bible says, which means to lift up, to build up. I mentioned the other week, I think in Sunday school, that we ought to have a habit of encouraging one another. Finding somebody that's having maybe some trouble or some trials or they're having some needs in their life, we'll do our best to try to help them in any way we can. We ought to be in the building ministry. You know, the ministry of God is a building ministry, not a tearing down ministry. I said the other week in Sunday school, you know, church ought to be a place where I come and get encouragement, to get help,
to get guidance, to get re-energized, if you would. If church is a place where people are going to gripe, complain, and nitpick one another, and fuss and fight, you know, I don't need that. I can get that out in the world. The world's pretty good at tearing down. We ought to be in a building ministry. What are we building? We're building people. Find somebody that you can help and encourage and invest in. And for you that work in the school, and I realize that what a workload that is. And I know there's some in the church here that's actually taught in the school in times past, and who knows, you may be asked to teach again next year. You don't ever know. That's the only disappointment I have in this church, Brother Yandel. I've never been asked to substitute teach. And I told my wife, if they let me have about 3 days with them kids, I'd straighten them out in about 3 days. Just joking. I'd probably go to jail, probably the end of the whole ministry if I was teaching, probably. But, for you that do work in the Christian school, do you realize the magnitude of your ministry? Good night. I mean, you have, how long do you have them? You have them from 8 to 2:30, is that right? 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, what is that, 6.5 hours you have them? Some get here, boy, they're so excited about school to get here that early, huh? But the church here, having a school is not an easy ministry. It's got to be a financial strain. There's always problems and there's always difficulties. And I'm sure there's been many times, surely there's been times where brother, he's not here tonight, Miss Richardson, let's find out from her. No, I'm just joking. But I bet there's been times that he's probably sat in his office and thought, forget about it. It's not worth all the trouble and the problems and the difficulties. But listen, what a ministry that is. To have children for that long a period of time and to actually teach them and to instruct them and help them as they develop mentally, physically, and spiritually in life. I mean, what an opportunity that is. And I think it's a tremendous opportunity. And I realize the days get long, and boy, you get weary, and you get tired of the problems, and I realize it's not a Christian ministry like that, a Christian school is not an easy ministry, but hey, you know, where do we find in the Bible where God ever said ministry is going to be easy? Ministry is about people. It's about reaching people and winning people to Christ and building people and encouraging people and helping people. That's what the ministry is all about. So we find that we have all these spiritual gifts that we're given. We ought to use those. We ought to have a prayer ministry. We ought to be an active part of praying for one another and praying for the church and praying for the pastor and praying for our missionaries and praying for those who have lost loved ones, praying for those who are going through cancer, praying for those that are sick. And boy, you can stay pretty busy just in prayer, dear friend. I think prayer is a ministry. What an opportunity God's given to us there, just in prayer. In a few moments, we'll have prayer requests. And boy, what an opportunity that I have to go to the Lord and speak to God Almighty about a need that somebody has. What a ministry. Let's hurry real quickly. I know you're not going to... we could go to Malachi, but here's the one that most people don't like. Another responsibility I have is giving tithes and offerings through the local New Testament church. I believe tonight that it is my responsibility to tithe on my gross income. Not only that, I believe God likes offerings too, and offerings are above the tithe. Tithes and offerings are not the same thing. They're not the same. You can't give an offering till you at least give the tithe. And then we have opportunity to give the missions. What an opportunity that is. To have a part in giving to missions so missionaries can go out around the world. Isn't it exciting? One of the most exciting things I think that has taken place is for our church to be able to take on some more missionaries for support. That's exciting. And guess what? I give to missions and so forth, and I have a part in that. And when you give to missions, you have a part in that. And then we have our tithe that we give to the local New Testament church. And that's what takes care of the bills around here. And so much more than even taking care of the bills and tithes and giving of tithes is a responsibility that we have upon us tonight. Are y'all with me tonight? Well, that didn't go very good. Let's go to the next one. But it is. It's a responsibility. That's God's plan, by the way. So, well, I don't like that. Well, you know, then get mad at God. God's the one that made it that. And God's the one that decided how much. It's 10%. And I taught on that not too long ago. And I think maybe it was in Sunday school and so forth. But, you know, you say, well, you know, I 10%, boy, that's an awful lot of money. Okay, then just be glad that God didn't put it at 50%. Have you ever figured up how much the government takes away from you? I mean, you really want to get mad. I can make you real mad tonight. If you started adding up how much taxes you pay to the government tonight. I mean, you fill up your car with gasoline tonight. Do you know how much you're paying in taxes? When we lived in the state of Tennessee, it was 19%. What is it? Does anybody know what it is here in Kentucky? 19 cents on every gallon goes to the state. I don't know what it is here in Kentucky now. I don't remember what it is. I do know this gas went up today. Let me tell you why. The wind's blowing down south. That's why it went up. But guess what? Doesn't matter how hard the economy may be struggling. It doesn't matter how financial struggles I may have. God still expects me to tithe. You know what? I ought to give tithe. I ought to put tithe in the offering plate and be glad to be able to do that. Say, well, how often do I need to tithe? You ought to tithe when you get paid. With what I do right now, I mean, our income, we get paid about every 4 months, I believe. But, you know, when we get paid, and you need to sit down and decide what your gross income is and so forth. And that's another Bible study in itself. But I ought to tithe on that. God expects that from me. Why? Because I'm a member of a local New Testament church called Grace Baptist Church. And by the way, let me say this real quick. The tithe goes to the church. Because there's going to be some guy on television telling you need to send him your money. You don't send your money to a TV evangelist. You give your... If you want to give above an offering to somebody off television, that's your business tonight. But the tithe, I believe, goes to the local New Testament church. We'll move on. Outreach and how that will be people that are reaching out to others. That's another one. In Psalms chapter 133, I don't have time to go to it, but it talks about unity and how that as a member of the local New Testament church, I ought to strive and do all that I can to make sure there's unity among the brethren. I should never do anything to cause division in the work of God. And by the way, if everybody would just do that, you could, you know, it's no telling what we could do as far as reaching the world with the gospel. Unity, loving one another and encouraging one another, serving in ministry and so many things that could be said tonight, but our time's out tonight. But let me say tonight that as a member of this church, guess what? There is a responsibility that God has on our life. And realize that, you know, isn't it amazing how church membership is treated nowadays? I mean, you can't join the local country club. You join the local country club, guess what? There's going to be rules that you go by. And I'm not a member of a local country club, never have been, never been to one, but I just know enough about it to know they're going to have one thing they call membership dues. It's amazing. People don't have any problem paying that. But you go to church and you let a preacher preach on tithing and everybody gets bent out of shape nowadays. He's just after my money. Well, you can think what you want tonight, but it's biblical. It's scriptural. Because God expects some things out of us tonight. Boy, we ought to be faithful to God. Be faithful to God's house. Be faithful to the work of God. And whatever needs may arise, let's do our part to have a part. Let's use what God gives us and any talents and gifts that God gives unto us. We'll use it for the glory of God. And realize if we have any gifts and talents tonight, it's only because God gave them to us in the first place. Let me tell you, we're nothing without Christ tonight. But we have a wonderful church tonight, and we'll do everything we possibly can to be supportive, help our pastor, take the leading and guiding that he gives us, and boy, let's just go to work and do all we can for Christ, because we do not know when our last day is going to be. I honestly believe tonight that I think we're close to the Lord's return tonight. I believe that. And I don't know how much time we have left, so let's do all we can while we have time. But Bradley?